98.7 FM. Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata.
It's going to be lit, is what I hear every single day. It's the greatest radio show ever.
Dan Bickley. Vince Murata.
It's the greatest show on earth.
Bickley and Murata. This is the greatest.
Good morning and welcome.
I love this show.
Me too.
It's the greatest radio show
really
that's ever existed.
It really, really
in
is.
In case you needed a refresher for the new version of the prolonged open.
Bickley and Murata.
I hate everything about this show. This is the worst show in the world. Good morning and welcome to the greatest show on earth. Jared, there will be never a time when that isn't funny. With Gambo spoofing
funny,
us spoofing
annoying,
ourselves.
Obnoxious, sure.
Right.
One of those words.
That will never not be funny to me. You know what I mean? Because the Open has been a cause for consternation on this program, particularly with Vinny, who remains on vacation.
That's what I was thinking when it was playing, is that when we played the new one, Vince loved it. And was really happy
about
it.
For about 15 minutes.
And then the next day,
yeah,
he also loved it. And I was like, oh my goodness, we got something here.
Yeah.
By Wednesday, he already didn't like it.
But that will never not be funny to me, because just Gambo's reaction, that's what Gambo does when he's had enough of something.
Is he goes over the top trying to mock it.
Right, exactly. Right. You know what I mean?
Well, luckily we never mock Gambo. So.
Right, right. Just remember, Gambo, you're not the only great one here.
He's like swimming with dolphins or something, or I saw some kind of picture.
Oh, good for him. No, I'm serious. I mean, good for him. No, I don't mean that in a bad way.
Good for him. Let the dolphins have him.
I would love to be swimming with dolphins right now.
And really, though?
Really, though.
Like, actually, have you ever done something
like
that?
No, I would love that. I would absolutely love that. Because, like I said, I've learned this from talking to people well acquainted with the sea, that if you're in the company of dolphin, they will protect you from sharks. And that's really an assurance that would change my entire life.
Okay, but how about who's going to protect you from the dolphins then?
What are the dolphins going to do?
Like the dolphins, if they had a chance, they'd eat you and your family.
No, they would not. All right, before we get into the splash today, there's a great little thing happening on Twitter by a guy named Jeff Eisenband, who tweeted out, "Describe your favorite sports moment as boring as possible." And it's kind of taken off, and I see some local dudes already chiming in. John Bloom chimed in with, "Team wins game while band exits field, one trombone was harmed." That's pretty good.
Yep.
That would be the great Cal.
Yes, and he is
Stanford
a big Cal fan, John Bloom. I saw this not a meme, I don't know what you call it, but it started off with "describe your favorite movie as boring as possible."
Right.
And then it became sports moment. But that's good. We should think about that. And
how about this
own,
one? Eli Manning to the middle of the field, caught by David Tyree, first down Giants.
Yeah, that's great. See, that's like a perfect, because it's just the most boring description of that play. That's how it shows up in the box score, too, you know?
Yeah.
So that's a funny one.
Patriots scored 25 points in second half of game that had no effect on 30 other teams. That's good. That's a good way of IDing a Super Bowl very boringly.
This is an interesting question just in its own, because what is your favorite sports moment?
My favorite sports moment of all time?
Yeah, because like to do this, you know, exercise, you first have to identify what your favorite sports moment is.
I'm going to have to think about that.
Yeah.
I mean, favorite sports moment is different than favorite sports outcome or favorite sports game.
Right.
I'd have to think about that. I mean, obviously, the bloop from Luis Gonzalez has gotten a lot of run from Arizona people in this kind of deal, but I don't know. I'm going to have to think about that. Do you know what yours is?
It's something with U of A basketball, like a Salim Slim.
Right.
I think it's the game before the Sweet 16 game versus Oklahoma State. Salim Stoudemire hit a game winning shot, and then they lost to Illinois in the most painful loss ever. But that was my favorite team ever in that moment. I just remember being so happy. But The Luis Gonzalez one is perfect for this exercise because on paper, you know, a bloop single kind of thing.
Right.
Could be described very boringly, so let me think about that.
Right, and the Luis Gonzalez thing is a moment. I mean, it's a bloop hit, so it's not a breathtaking moment, but what it comes with is the implied championship. So if you're going to name Luis Gonzalez's bloop single, the idea of somebody making a dramatic game-winning shot to win a championship, I think that wins these kind of things in terms of what is the greatest moment. The most exhilarating moment I have ever had in Arizona sports history was the moment Larry Fitzgerald scored the touchdown in the Super Bowl, giving the Cardinals the lead. It was the most surreal moment I have had in 20 years here, where I sat in the press box, looked at my laptop, and said, I can't believe I might have to get to have the privilege of writing a Super Bowl winning column for the Arizona Cardinals.
So something like that would be like, you know, Larry Fitzgerald catches short pass over the middle, then watches himself on TV for
right, and, right,
30 for seconds next, or something
right,
like that.
Right, and watches, right, exactly.
Watches
something like
TV
that.
Of replay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so maybe we can think about that. Maybe we can incorporate that.
Yeah, those
that,
kind of things
it,
are fun.
Make that Arizona. Yeah, that's, I'm kind of mad I didn't think about that, you know? But I do not live my life thinking in terms of social media currency.
That's
a rabbit hole.
That's why you'll never go viral. That's why you'll never be an influencer, Dan.
That's right. That's right. Could have been something, Carlin. All right, let's start the show. We got a lot of ground to cover today.
The Splash. Splash. The stories making waves in the sports world. The Splash.
Cannonball.
All right, what is going on today? Well, I'll tell you what's going on today. The NBA is going on today. The Phoenix Suns have apparently left for the bubble in Orlando. And how do I know this? Well, Kelly Oubre Jr. has tweeted out the following, quote, Orlando is going to be so nostalgic, recording my whole experience, wheels up, hashtag shh.
Yeah, he always hashtags that.
What does that mean?
Well, Nas-stalgic. Maybe he's nostalgic for the rapper Nas.
Nas,
yeah. I guess he means because going to Disney World? Like he thinks he's going to go and ride the rides?
Come on.
Because what else?
You're being ridiculous.
What else is he nostalgic for going on this trip?
The first game the Suns play is against the Wizards, his old team.
Oh, I'm so stupid. I didn't even realize. But I knew that, but I didn't realize that connection.
Does this mean he might be playing? I said this earlier, okay? And we're going to get into this today. We're going to get into this very quickly. James Jones opening a door, a window, a back door, the garage door, everything for Kelly Oubre's return yesterday. It's either going to be a harbinger of a really great moment for the Suns, or it's one of the most cruel teases I've ever heard of in my life. Just throwing it out there that this guy might actually be coming back after most of Planet Orange had kind of flushed the idea.
That's the thing. It was it's an unnecessary tease. If it's not an actual possibility, like you said, everybody moved on and accepted.
Everybody moved on.
Yeah. So I don't know what was the point of him saying that unless he just sort of got caught just talking and it just came out. But if it's a real possibility, then you almost are expecting it.
All right, Major League Baseball, as promised, they unveiled their 60-game schedule yesterday.
Exciting.
Opening night is July 23rd. You're going to have a couple of good baseball games. You're going to have the Yankees and the Nationals, and you're going to have the Giants and the Dodgers. Okay, so I'm down with that. Right?
That's good.
One really good game in the American League, one real
rivalry.
Nostalgic game in
the nostalgic rivalry.
National League, right? The Diamondbacks opening on the road, coming home. Their first home game is going to be July 30th against the Dodgers. They open in San Diego. It's like every Diamondbacks fan's worst nightmare. Nothing is more boring than Padres series.
Yeah, well, I guess it won't be any different since now they're not legally allowed to have fans, and they don't usually have fans anyway. I do wonder about the Dodgers series. The pool, I guess, will not be filled this year at Chase Field, right? You'd think. Why use the electricity?
Because,
why use the water? Why?
Well,
there's nobody there.
Yeah, but having an empty field looks kind of ghetto, or an empty pool looks kind of ghetto.
So do you think For ambiance, you still have, like, the pool and the fountain and stuff?
Yeah, but you know what I would do? I would let every baseball that lands in that pool just bob and see how many you can get kind of hanging out in that pool.
And then the first season, that the first people that rent the pool out get their take of all the balls.
Yeah, something like that. But they'd all be waterlogged by that time.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
All right, the highlights for the Diamondbacks, they're going to play the Giants on August 21st through the 23rd. So Madison Bumgarner may get an opportunity to pitch against his former team. That was one of the games of the 60-game schedule that was tagged by a lot of national people as potential games of interest. Meanwhile, the Arizona Diamondbacks, we have some clarity. David Peralta was feeling ill. He tested four times. He has been declared clear and testing negative for COVID-19. Cole Calhoun, just the opposite. So I don't know whether Cole Calhoun has decided to tap out or not, or whether he's going to reconcile this and make his decision at that point in time. But that is why those guys were missing from action. So we've got some resolution on that.
Yep, I guess, again, wait and see. It's funny, the guy that feels sick was not positive, and the guy that doesn't is, and that's what's so tricky about testing and the disease and everything.
Yeah. All right. In the NFL, there's a lot of news breaking in the NFL. You've got the NFLPA president kind of starting to pick a fight with the NFL. We're going to get into that a little
bit
later. Wrote an open letter.
It felt very Tony Clark versus Rob Manfred.
It really did.
While I was reading it.
It really, really did. And it was, and to me, this is something that is, it's going to kind of define where this whole league is going. We're going to get into that later. And then DeSean Jackson posted some really ugly anti-Semitic remarks on Instagram. He was forced to apologize, but the Eagles only admonished him, and it's created a backlash in the NFL because of what Drew Brees had to do to kind of get past his misstatement, if you will. Right?
Yes.
So they're being looked at as having a double standard for white athletes. Is this the proper way to say this? Who misspoke?
I don't know. It's something that's still playing out as we speak. And a lot of times the initial reaction to something evolves into something more. So we'll have to see what the Eagles do, what DeSean Jackson does, what all that stuff.
We do know what DeSean Jackson did. He apologized.
But then the Eagles said, we're also going to, you know, we met
to
with
look
them.
Into this.
We're going to look into it. We want him to do further stuff to, you know, work.
All right.
To bring unity and all
that
stuff.
Got it. Also, we're going to get an update on the Patrick Mahomes contract. Landed in at an estimated $503 million, Jared Carlin. That's pretty good.
$503 million. I got that on me.
Come on. Yeah, sure you do. Yeah. All right, those are some of the stories we're going to get in today. We're going to have a lot of fun. Mustache, not a mustache, is going to take place today without Vinny.
Yes.
Start, sit, and cut is going to take place today. So we're going to have some shenanigans today.
That's
I'm
right.
Looking forward to that. All right, we'll get the fun started when we come back. Dan Bickley, Jared Carlin, Arizona Sports, 98.7 FM.
Dan Bickley, Vince Marotta.
Bickley and Marotta.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Well, it's a challenging environment for anyone, specifically for athletes that are trying to recover from injury. You can't come to the gym. You can't go into the therapy clinics. You can't get on the court. All you can do is just sit and wait. And as an extreme athlete, you can't rush that back. And we've always said that our goal has been for every single one of our guys to improve and to build towards being able to play. And Kelly's been here in market. He's been rehabbing. And so my expectations for him are the same as every other player. Come in every day, practice with the team, work and compete, and get yourself in a position to play. And hopefully that's before Orlando ends.
Welcome back, everybody. Good morning. Really good morning if you're a Phoenix Suns fan. This is an interesting development that came out of nowhere yesterday. I went back after the show, and I rewatched James Jones' entire Zoom press conference just to kind of hear it again. And there was just some of it. It was so James Jones like, vague in spots, maybe a little weird in spots, and then really enlightening in other spots. There was the revelation that they didn't know who was traveling with the team to Orlando, that some players will be coming in later. And you think about that, that doesn't exactly paint the most unified approach to the bubble.
Are they leaving today?
Right.
They still didn't know?
Yeah, right, exactly. It kind of struck me as a little bit odd. It got me a little weirded out about where Devin Booker is in all this.
Also, if you're not all traveling together, aren't you immediately negating the concept of the bubble?
Immediately. So that in and of itself was really weirdness to me. And I thought, okay, maybe that's just accommodating for Kelly Oubre if he wants to come later. I couldn't figure out what in the world he meant by that. When James Jones was asked about who this is going to be important for, he rattled off four guys that I don't need to see play basketball anymore. Javon Carter, Dario Saric, Aaron Baines, Frank Kaminsky.
Yeah.
They're all guys who are likely not going to be here next year. And then out of the blue came that cut.
Those are the four guys that have been practicing at the facility and doing the press conferences and all that.
Because they're free agents to be, because they have to. And now you get a clearer picture of what guys are doing this for, where their heads happen to be. So, but the leaving the door and the window open for Kelly Oubre yesterday struck me as like, wow, that is either really reckless, really cover your own backside if the owner is breathing down your neck about this issue, or really potentially exhilarating moment for the Phoenix Suns ahead. Because if Kelly Oubre decides this is important to him enough to play, then I think that's really, that says something strong about how he feels about Phoenix, how he feels about his teammates, what he believes in the organization. And I think it just would be a real powerful statement, because we know the kind of energy that guy brings to this team. And it's not just energy on the court, it's just energy. All right. There's a reason why the teammates love him. You're not going to find guys like him who hog the ball as much as Kelly Oubre does, and yet the teammates still love him. That's because they love him. All right.
And fans love him.
And the fans love him, too. Kelly Oubre tweeting out this morning, quote, "Orlando is going to be so nostalgic, recording my whole experience, wheels up, hashtag shh." Now, this is very ambiguous. You can read into this and go, all right, nostalgic. What's nostalgic about this? Well, as I said earlier, the first game the Suns play are against his former team, the Washington Wizards.
Without Bradley Beal.
Without Bradley Beal. And then recording my whole experience. Well, a guy recording the whole experience sounds like a guy who's a spectator, who's going to be there working but not playing, who's going to film everything. I don't know where to go with this, but then part of me says, why would he even chime in about anything if it wasn't a possibility that he was about to play?
I guess we know that he is one of the players going with the team today, though, if he's had wheels up.
Right.
I interpreted the nostalgic thing as he's going back to Disney World and it's going to make him feel like a kid again.
It could be, but these guys are not, the park isn't open.
Right. Eric Cohen suggested that maybe the idea of going and playing in front of playing in smaller gyms, playing with no crowds, will make him nostalgic, like he's playing back in high school.
Could be.
Or AAU.
That makes sense to me.
And recording the whole experience. Okay, if you're not going to be playing, what is the experience that you're actually going to be recording?
Mm-hmm.
Just sitting in the hotel because you can't really leave.
Well, right. Exactly. And then on top of that, I'm sure if you're Kelly Oubre, you're aware that the Suns general manager said you might be playing in Orlando. And for him to tweet this without any clarity about that is also this shell game.
It's very interesting. And the timeline of everything,
uh-huh.
I guess it's possible that everything could have been true at every time it was said. So when Sarver said he expects Oubre to play, that was, you know, during, before everybody reported, and Oubre didn't really get checked out by the doctors, so that mm-hmm. he expected it. Then when he got checked out, maybe Oubre said, you know what, I can't. I'm not ready. Can't play. But after spending the last couple weeks with the Suns training staff, maybe things have changed again. And maybe what James Jones said, he's like, you know what, we didn't think he could play, but now actually he's getting better, and maybe, because he says at the end of our time in Orlando.
Yeah.
It's not like he says, like, you know, he might be able to play once we start playing. So even in James Jones' vague statement, it was sort of, it's a possibility if we play for a while, not necessarily like right off the bat.
Yeah. Listen, and I'm just going to explore all angles. I'm not going to cast any aspersions, but I do know that James Jones, since he's gotten here, he's made it a point to execute gestures that have been very player friendly, even if they haven't been Suns beneficial. Meaning, trade for guys and then just let them go elsewhere. Get Tyson Chandler to Los Angeles. Stuff like that. He's been very methodical in being player friendly to guys leaving the organization so they can go elsewhere with a good thought about, well, things have changed in Phoenix.
Right. Austin Rivers.
Austin Rivers is another example. So if you're going to go and reward these four guys who are not part of the future by giving them all the minutes, I could see James Jones doing something like that. I could also see in a situation like that, Robert Sarver going to James Jones and saying, listen, you're the general manager here. The doctors say he should be fine. Why isn't he playing? And if James Jones kind of was sympathetic to what Kelly Oubre is going through, he might just go, okay, Kelly, listen, let's just keep a window open, okay?
Well, I mean, is it just as simple as why is he going on the trip if there's not a possibility?
That's a great point,
too. If there's
not
a possibility of his playing, and if you're so put so much emphasis on this bubble and as the least amount of players as possible, the least amount of guests, the least amount of outside people, mm-hmm. keeping everybody safe. If there's no possibility of Oubre
then
playing,
why are you going?
Why is he going? Why are they bringing him? Why are they allowing it?
Yeah, that's a great point as well. And so a lot of it is just it's opened up wild speculation that's fueled by stuff like this. Because if Kelly Oubre knew that was sort of the plan, that okay, the window's open, and he deep down said I'm not doing this, he wouldn't contribute to this excitement with a tweet like this today. What would he be so happy about going to Orlando just to rehab in a bubble? Why would he give up all his personal freedoms to rehab in a bubble? It doesn't make any sense. And like you said, why would the Suns bring him if he's going to be around going around filming things?
I guess we'll wait and see. It gives some
That's
sort
such
of...
an awful talk radio answer, by the way.
Wait and see?
Yeah.
Well, I guess.
This whole medium is built on... No, tell me what you think is going to happen, even if you're wildly off base.
I agree, absolutely. So here's what I think is going to happen. Are you familiar with Willis
right.
Reed?
Right.
Does the name Willis Reed
right.
mean anything to you,
right.
Dan Bickley?
Right, right. Yes, I am familiar with Willis Reed.
Well, that'll be nothing.
Yeah.
Pale in comparison.
Spencer points out to us that, yes, AAU national championships are held there. That could be what he's talking about. That could be it, right?
Yeah, interesting.
It'd be like the Suns for anything to happen, but I'm telling you, if he decides to play, it's going to be a great moment for the organization, I believe. It's going to be one of these glue kind of moments that make you go, okay, I feel really good about the future of this team, because that guy cares that much, even though this team was listening to trade offers for him, even though he just got off meniscus surgery.
Absolutely, and then it will also show the fan base that the team is taking this opportunity as serious as they could take it, and they're going all in.
Yes, exactly. That's what this team needs to express. Now, why the whole team isn't going together, I'm not quite certain what that means, Garland. Really not. I want to see Devin Booker get off that plane in Orlando today. I want to see a picture of that.
Oh, Kelly Oubre's filming it all. He's recording it all. So we'll have to check the videotape and count who's
is
there.
Is Devin Booker
there.
Going? Do we know for a fact that he's going?
I hope so.
So do I.
I haven't heard from him in a long time.
But
Kellen,
I'm not going to say we'll wait and see.
Kellen, you listening?
Yeah, Kellen,
check
hook us up with some knowledge,
check
man.
His video game feed. Has he mentioned anything on Call of Duty?
All right. Coming up on the other side, Major League Baseball has released its schedule. We'll tell you all about it next on Arizona Sports 98.7 FM.
We knew it was going to be rugged, and we're going to be in the NL West and fight it out and duking it out, and that's how it should be. You got to win within your division to get to where you want to get to. I think everybody within our division is preparing for a steel cage match, and I wouldn't have it any other way, and I think the guys are pretty excited about that.
All right, that the voice of Diamondbacks manager Torey Lovello. The team held a intra-squad Intra-squad scrimmage yesterday, a game that, or a scrimmage that kept being, that was bouncing around different time slots based on Major League Baseball getting the COVID-19 information to them. The story we talked about yesterday, I'm going to give Major League Baseball a mulligan on this. The fact that they've got their own lab established, I think should tell the players are taking this very seriously. And I think that holiday weekend, trying to get delivery systems calibrated, if it keeps happening, it's going to be an issue with the players. They've made that pretty darn clear.
I think if it even happens once more, the players are going to be really
upset
about that.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. They're probably under a lot of pressure now to have this thing buttoned down. And it's going to be really interesting now. You don't know this because I haven't brought this up yet. Maybe you read it. The NHL plans on testing 2,000 tests a day. Is that possible?
Is it possible to do that many tests in a day, or that,
well,
they would need to?
I don't know. But whatever. My point is that leagues are going to find out that if they're really going to have safety protocols that involve that kind of rapid, repeated testing, that it's going to be quite an effort, quite an undertaking. So let's talk baseball. In the case of the Arizona Diamondbacks, the schedule has been released, and we've heard Torey Lovullo on a couple of different occasions talk about how important it is that the team gets off to a fast start. MLB Network rated the Diamondbacks' 60-game schedule as the fourth hardest in Major League Baseball in this restart. That's nothing more than bad luck based on your regional groupings, because that's the way Major League Baseball is kind of set up now.
The Dodgers, the A's, the Angels.
They open with four games against the Padres. That's about as easy as an opening to your
Rangers.
Schedule.
And then they play the Rangers.
Not only that, they get to experience that brand new stadium that looks like a restaurant where you get to pick a live cow first.
Yes. Do you think they're going to have peanut shells on the bottom of the field?
It's going to smell like cow manure.
Oh,
yeah.
Love it.
It's going to...
That was the first thing that stood out when I looked at the schedule, is that the first five games are against the Padres and the Rangers. Okay, they could start off 5-0. Big deal, right? Well, 5-0 in a 60-game season, that's 1/12 of your season right there.
Yeah. So that's 6-0, Jared. They've got a four-game set with the Padres.
Oh, is it 4-2? Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So 6-0.
They go 6-0.
1/10 of your season right there.
Right there.
And that's a huge advantage to start off that way, I think. Then they play the Dodgers
on July 30th. So mark your calendars if you
home.
Want to go to the. Wait, no, oh, hold yeah, on. No. You can't do that. Right.
I wonder if they're going to be even. Obviously, they won't let them into the parking lot or anything like that to tailgate before a game that they can't go into. But I wonder if their people are going to have. Boy, I don't know.
Basically, the schedule, it's weird because the road schedule opens up with six what looks like to be very manageable games. Then you come home for seven very difficult games against the Dodgers and the Astros, right? Then you go back and you play the Padres. Schedule doesn't look that bad to me. It really doesn't.
See, it doesn't look that bad because while there is a lot of good teams, there's no super duper hard stretches because there's always like a Mariners or a Rangers or a Padres
waiting right there for you.
The Giants aren't very good either.
Uh-huh.
So while there are some really good teams, there's also some really not good teams. So I don't think it's that undoable. And I think the Diamondbacks, even in a normal season, we had pretty high expectations that they were going to be at least compete for a playoff spot.
Right.
Did we ever figure out if the roof's going to have to be open or not?
That's a great question too. I really don't know. I mean, you're talking the first game on July 30th. I mean, that could just be steaming hot. I would, for the sake of safety, play with the roof open.
And the panels too, I guess?
Yeah, everything. As much circulating air as possible.
I would think so, right?
Yeah. What the data that I read that I trust, they say the biggest issues with this virus are for areas indoors with poor circulation. That's why bars are so dangerous. Yeah, here we are. Right?
I know.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I got a new spray that I'm spraying now to get rid of the air because I've been wiping everything down. Oh, yeah, you want to borrow it?
I do.
I'll give it during the break.
I don't know where Luke's been.
Yeah, well, there's a basement with no windows. anything to you.
Right. The question becomes this. Okay, what are the Diamondbacks going to do if Cole Calhoun decides to tap out? As of right now, I don't hear a lot of Diamondbacks players talking on the fence. Madison Bumgarner, he said something cryptic along the lines of there are things far more important than Major League Baseball.
All rodeo.
Right? Don't say that.
No, okay.
Don't say that. Although that rodeo, I read over the weekend, the rodeo I think that he was at last year is not allowing the media this time around.
I'm surprised they're even doing it. But speaking of smelling like cow manure, God, a rodeo is just not my idea of
fun
time.
Yeah, no.
In the best possible scenario, even if you enjoy it to the it's your complete thing. You love watching cowboys and horseback riding and bucking broncos. At the very best case scenario, it's going to smell
like a barn,
bulls and horses and cows and manure and hay and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, that's what happens when you have live animals involved in a sport.
I remember my grandpa had a joke where the punchline was the horse manure, but I can't remember the setup. It's about a guy who trained horses and anyway.
All right, the bigger question for the Diamondbacks, they've lost Mike Leake to COVID-19. He's tapped out. They've got the resources to compensate.
Well, I mean, they lost Mike Leake, who decided not to play.
Right.
Not because he had COVID-19.
Well, no, he lost it to, okay, you're right. I should rephrase that. He lost because he decided not to play out of fears
because
of COVID-19.
Cole Calhoun has it, and he's
asymptomatic.
Right, most of the players that have decided not to play so far in Major League Baseball
don't have it.
Yeah, they're not doing it because they're sick. You know, it's because they, I guess, don't want to get sick.
Yeah.
So Cole Calhoun, him being testing positive doesn't necessarily make it more or less likely that he will not want to play.
Okay, okay. So the question becomes now, what do they do about a right fielder if Cole Calhoun doesn't feel up to it or isn't part of this baseball team? That's what?
All roads.
You got the answer? All roads lead to who?
Yasmani Tomas.
He's not on their list. He's not on their 60-man list.
Nostalgic Tomas, as I call him.
Is that what you call him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. But
I don't know why the Diamondbacks are so against it, but
well,
whatever.
I would feel, though, that if something happened with Cole Calhoun before the season starts, they could adjust the 60-man, no?
I'm sorry. Do you know how good it feels just to be talking about something as stupid as who's playing right field?
I know.
For your baseball team?
Who's on? It'd be interesting. It's so close now. I almost like, you know how Vince pretty much for the last 4 months says he wishes he could take a pill and just like go to sleep and wake up in September? Now we're so close that it almost feels further away because we're so close that you could see it happening and you just don't want anything to happen over the next 2 weeks.
You ask any military veterans who have served this country, Jared Carlin, the ones who have no fear whatsoever, the only time they have fear is when they know they're right about ready to be released to go home. Because then it all becomes real again. And then there's something real tangible to lose right there in front of them. And that's kind of what you're feeling. Now that it's really close, you're really afraid of it going bye-bye.
I'm really interested to see how much this excitement lasts once the games actually start. Because a baseball game is still a baseball game. And now you're playing it in front of no fans. You know
Until
what I mean?
People just go, why was I so excited about this?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's possible.
Because people feel that way every opening day, regardless of crazy situations, they get excited. And you see it with completely packed crowds for the opening game or the opening weekend. And then, you know, the ratings go down, the interest goes down, the attendance goes down. So we'll see how long it actually lasts for people like us, the hardcore fans and then the casual fan.
All right, what's up with the NFLPA and why is their new president so agitated? We'll talk about that next. Dan Bickley, Jared Carlin, Arizona Sports 98.7 FM.
Bickley and Murata.
You don't like the stuff that I'm bringing to you out of the blue?
Shut your dirty mouth.
Oh, shut up. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Welcome back, everybody. Happy Tuesday to y'all. Before we get into the football, my buddy Chris Peterson, the awesome cameraman for Channel 12, he sent me something from Chase Field yesterday. I don't know if this is going to work, Carlin, but I'm going to try it. That was the crack of a bat inside a very empty baseball stadium. That was a foul ball that hit the awning in the second deck.
Ah.
And welcome to the sounds of baseball without fans.
Interesting.
It's going to be that stuff right there is going to be grotesque when you're watching baseball games without fans in stadiums.
Will there be an organist or will there be music being played?
I hope.
All right, yes, and we talked about this with basketball too, because on the one hand, that is to rile up the crowd, to get them to chant, to clap, to be engaged. On the other hand, though, it does add to the ambiance of a game. So even without a crowd, you would like there to be the sounds of the game.
Right.
Beyond just, like you said, the crack of a bat and then the thwop of a ball hitting an empty
or rattling in between seats. Yeah, that's not going to be good. I've got a good idea about that. So the Diamondbacks should actually sell cardboard cutouts of fans. I think we as a radio station should have all of us in a row.
Right? Absolutely.
You could have Gambo stretching out his arms, blocking all of our faces.
I was going to say Gambo making him
muscles, yeah. Right? You can do your goofy face, the thing you do.
You think they would include me in this?
I don't know.
No.
You are kind of blowing up during this pandemic.
Yeah, really?
I don't know.
I am
your Disney
big.
Material's been pretty good.
Yes. Speaking of that, real quick.
Yeah.
Just tweet me at Jarrett GC or Bicklegan Scrimorato. What should my next Disney song be? Because I want to do one this week. And I have an idea, but I've already done Aladdin,
really?
Beauty and the Beast.
Really? You're going to open yourself up to that kind of abuse.
Yeah,
you're going to open yourself up to what people are going to tell you
nothing,
to do for your next song.
I am nothing if not a man of the people.
Yeah, that's exactly why I want to let them know. There you go. Reach out to Jarrett if you got a suggestion for him. I second that. All right, in the NFL, this is kind of weird, folks. We've got NFL training camp players set to report at the end of the month. July 28th, I want to say, is the date. Is that right?
Yeah.
I think it is. All right. The NFL PA president, J.C. Treader, he is now warning everybody that the NFL might be going down a bad path. And basically where he's at is this. The players want 48 days of training camp, no more, and they don't want to play any preseason games.
He wrote an open letter.
Mm-hmm.
And
picking a fight, basically.
I know. Like, what was the point to make this public, the other than to publicly put the pressure on the NFL now?
Mm-hmm. Well,
this is the beginning of everything that we saw
was
wrong with Major League Baseball, making all the grievances public, making the negotiations public, making everything that Tony Clark or Rob Manfred thought or negotiated with or argued about public. To write a public open letter like this, mm-hmm. and sort of air your dirty laundry and air the stuff that there's no need that the public needs to hear this other than if you're trying to make a point or you're trying to get leverage.
I totally agree. And you know how the NFL and their owners generally react to being threatened. They don't react very well at all. So I look at this and I wonder, okay, this is interesting here. Is it at that point where players are getting that weirded out about reporting for training camp? And I think it is, it's not just the when they're being asked to report, because the NFL has been very respectful of everything up to now, canceling everything up till now, closing facilities up until now, conducting Zoom conferences. The league and teams, from my vantage point, have been very empathetic and very wise to be focusing on player safety, their mental well-being, their physical well-being. Here you go, though. You've got the NFLPA writing an open letter to bring light to an issue that speaks to the NFL being now inflexible about a couple of things, and that would be preseason football. In this letter, he points out that the owners have shown no reason why medically these preseason games are necessary. And then he went on to say, quote, the NFL is unwilling to prioritize player safety and believes the virus will bend to football.
Yep. In general, the vibe of the letter was the NFL just wants to go about business as usual in an unusual time.
Yep.
And we don't want to. Again, though, like, it's not like, oh, you know, a journal like Ian Rappaport or Adam Schefter. We got a hold of this letter that the player, sent to the commissioner. Mm-hmm. This was something that was published for everyone to see, as in, look at how bad the NFL is trying to screw us here.
Yeah.
And this was a league that we kept saying has done the best, has survived the pandemic.
They've been great.
They've been great. Roger Goodell actually has raised his stature as a commissioner.
Yes, he has.
Because of all the stuff that's gone on. And the fact that we're, once again, we're getting closer and closer to football, which once seemed so far away.
Mm-hmm.
And now problems are starting to pop up. Problems that we saw in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Problems that we somewhat saw a little bit in basketball. Stuff that you absolutely did not want to see in football and thought they would get away with not having to see.
Well, and then you ask yourself, all right, if the players want a 48-day training camp, now do the math on that. The opener's on September 10th, right? Or is that the opening Sunday? Whatever. It's the second week in September. If you subtract 48 days, you pretty much have, what, right around the start of August? I don't know. So there's not that much of a concession in terms of how they want to prepare, the time spent preparing for the season. It's this idea of preseason games. And why are they so important? You would think that in a situation like this where it's mitigate every risk except for the games that we have to play, that has to be their strategy. I think it's because the owners know that if we give up all preseason football games during a pandemic in 2020, we're never going to get them back. And preseason football games have been to date one of the biggest scams in professional sports.
The worst.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody likes watching them. Nobody likes playing them.
Right. But everybody has to pay for them if you want to be a season ticket holder for your football club.
It does stink, though, that line of reasoning, that logic, that type of thinking that, okay, if we give them up here, we'll never get them back. Because we made this same argument with baseball. Can we just live in the year that we're in now and these special, crazy, weird, once-in-a-lifetime circumstances and say that whatever we do this year is for this year?
And this year only,
and just because we did this because
clear.
Of a pandemic and because of special circumstances doesn't mean that we're going to do it every year from now. We have to negotiate in good faith next year. However, I think the idea of four preseason games was already starting to die.
I agree with that too.
And
that's why the owners know they're never coming back. And now you're giving up two games of free revenue.
Now, you have to think that there are some NFL players who do like the preseason, and that's those fringe guys that need the preseason to make the league, to make the team.
You can't be basing decisions during a pandemic on the well-being of fringe guys. You need to protect your stars. Yeah, listen, this is the first time you ID'd this properly. This coming out of a great offseason for the NFL is the first cannon over the bow. This is the first shot fired now.
Yep.
And how the NFL is going to react to this, will the NFL relent and say, okay, no preseason games, 48-day training camp, whatever you gentlemen need to play football for us in week one, we're down with. That would be the smart thing to do.
And again, are the NFL Players Association, are they in the baseball thing that it's zero games or that's it? Like, will they say now, okay, well, how about we only play one game, and they'll accept that? Mm-hmm. Or is it like, we don't want to play any games, we don't care if it's one or four, we just don't want to play any. So we'll see how, and you're right, September 10th is the first game, and then September 13th is the first weekend.
Yeah, okay, so there you go. And that's kind of what you're looking at here. So the length of training camp shouldn't be an issue. You shouldn't be arguing over days at this point in time. The preseason game seems to be an easy give, but nothing comes easy when it's giving back money in this league. That's the bottom line here. So this is the first time the NFL now has got some labor issues that we knew were coming. This league was not going to just start playing football on September 10th. You know what I mean? All right, coming up on the other side, Patrick Mahomes' record contract yesterday has a number, and a very unlikely person broke the story. You're not going to believe this story. That's next. Dan Bickley, Jared Carlin, you're listening to Arizona Sports 98.7 FM.